the Bible, or if you have your phone keyed into tonight, then you will have it at Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. Just those three verses. Before I do that, I just want to welcome Jean-Marie back from her time in the States. It took a long time for you to go, Jean-Marie. Remember that? How long it took? It seems like it took a long time for you to come back. It's good to have you back. And Jan, my guitar really flatters your playing, but... you can use it any time you want to bless us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone may possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled through his death, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? I want you to listen in, if you will, on two guys chatting. The one guy says, man, I'm speeding down the N3, clipping 160, and I went through a speed trap. I got this huge fine. But I thought I would take a chance. Kom wil nie ding nie werk nie, man. I mean, you had to see that one, but I don't know. I don't know. It should be working. I mean, there's a little, this thing. No, it's got that. I'll tell you what it is. Not in properly. Okay. Finger problem. Okay. And I got this huge fine. But he says to his friend, you know, I thought I would take a chance. I just didn't pay it. You know what? They say big bungling and this kind of stuff. I got away with it. I got away with it. Is that being lucky? Or is it unfair that he got away with it? And even if you didn't get away with your fine, you probably think he is lucky to have got away with it. But then a friend of yours is burgled, and they lose a lot of stuff, and they weren't properly insured, and the insurance didn't cover everything, and they get the person who burgled him. He goes to court, but he gets off on a technicality. He's guilty. He did it. But on a technicality, he gets off. Now, is that person lucky? Or is that unfair? You are angry, aren't you? Because it's patently unfair. He did wrong. He wasn't punished for it. It's unfair. Now, the Bible teaches us a couple of things, but one of the things it teaches us is that we were created in the image of God. Now, created in the image of God, people have written books about that. I just want to look at one or two things, what it means to be created in the image of God. It means that, like God, we have the ability to love. We have the ability to enter into relationships with other people. Those are the sorts of things that are included in the fact that we are created in God's image. But there's another aspect to being created in God's image, and it's this. We have an inherent sense of what is fair. We just kind of know instinctively that some things are just not fair. And maybe getting away with the speeding fine is lucky, but getting away with a burglary when somebody's out of pocket, that is unfair. And while we might resist the fact that there are these laws, that we've got to obey the laws and that, we also, because we are created the image of God and have an inherent sense of fairness, we accept there must be laws so that things can be fair and lawbreakers get punished. Now, Last week we spoke about the different religions of the world, and we saw that all the religions of the world, including Christianity, share the same basic morality. Now, the fact that all these religions of the world share the same basic morality, this isn't surprising, because as we have just seen, we are all created in the image of God. And so we are not surprised that there is a core list of things that we all agree we ought to do, and we all agree we oughtn't to do. We agree in this because we're in the image of God. We would expect that. And so we all agree, all the religions of the world agree on these eight things. Don't harm others by word or deed. Honor your parents. Be kind to siblings and the elderly. Be honest in your dealings with others. Don't lie. Don't have sex with another person's spouse. Care for those who are weaker. Put others first. We all agree, all the religions of the world, doesn't matter which one, we all have this in common. We all agree to these things. All religions subscribe to this, which just proves that there is a widespread sense of what we all in the world agree to what is fair. There is a wide sense spread that this list is good. Don't do some things, you must do other things. We all agree. But here's the problem. We might agree that the law is good, but we also saw that we are incapable of consistently keeping the law. And we saw last week, nobody could put up a hand and say we've never lied. Nobody could put up a hand and say we've never been unkind to our parents or our siblings. Nobody could do that. We are all law breakers. And that inherent sense of fairness which we all have tells us that somehow we deserve to pay the penalty, some kind of penalty for breaking the law. I mean, that's fair, isn't it? I mean, how can it be unfair if the burglar is not punished, but then be fair that we get away with breaking the law? How can that be? To be consistent, we've got to say if we break the law, there needs to be some kind of punishment. So when whatever God we believe in requires that we are punished for breaking the law, this is fair. In fact, if the God in whom we believed didn't demand punishment, that would be unfair, and we wouldn't want to worship a God who is unfair. So, this is how this plays out. All religions, except one, give a list of things which we can do to pay for breaking the law. Essentially, what religion requires is that we've got to balance the scales. We've got to somehow do enough good to outweigh the bad that we have done. But straight away, two problems. Firstly, there is a problem of the wrong that we have so far done. The stuff that we've done in our past, which we cannot undo. The being unkind to people, the shouting at our brothers, the lying, all that stuff. We can't undo it. We can't go back and take it all back. This remains a black mark against us, and we are incapable of doing anything about what we have already done. And secondly, we are incapable of keeping the law perfectly in the future. I mean, even if all that was wiped out up till today, and now we've got a clean slate, we haven't been able to keep the law in the past. How are we going to manage to keep it perfectly in the future? So, here is what religion shows us. It shows us that we can never do enough to be forgiven for the stuff we have done in the past. Neither do we have the ability to be perfect in the future. We are law breakers for whom punishment is the only fair option. And what is a punishment? Well, we've seen it as we've celebrated communion tonight. Death is the only punishment. And not to punish law breakers, that would be unfair. I said there was only one religion which was an exception. And that, of course, is Christianity. And this is what our text is all about. Look at our text. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. What does it mean to be powerless in this context? It means that we are incapable of doing anything about our law breaking. We are powerless to undo the past. We are powerless to undo the hurt that we have already caused. We are powerless to fix the laws that we have already broken. We are powerless to do anything about the future, about needing to be law keepers in the future. That is what the word powerless means. We are helpless to address our situation. We are helpless. And we've seen that death is the only adequate penalty for our law breaking, but at just the right time. While we were still powerless, Jesus did something. He died for the ungodly. What does it mean to be ungodly? It simply means to be not like God. Ungodly, not like God. God is perfect. We can't even keep 8 little laws. We are ungodly. We are not like God. And what is the punishment for being a lawbreaker? Death. So at just the right time, Jesus died for us who are ungodly, died for us who are not like God, and we were powerless to do anything about it. In other words, at just the right time, Jesus paid the penalty for our lawbreaking. Now this was something unheard of. This was something mind-blowing. You see, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. One person dying for another? How often does that happen? Chances are, even if the other person is upright in all they do, we're still not going to just say, well, look, I'll die for you. Maybe, just maybe, if the person is a good person, yeah, we can see that they are about to find a cure for AIDS. And we think to ourselves, man, it's better that I die than that person dies. Maybe for a good person. Or if we think of someone who is single-handedly supporting 1,000 orphans, and we think to ourselves, well, maybe I should die for that person because what about that 1,000 orphans? Maybe for a good person, we would possibly dare to die. Can you think of someone for whom you might dare to die? Not too many, right? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I've been using the word lawbreaker. The biblical word is sinner. Now, a sinner is someone who fails to live up to the standard. You know, we've got those 8 laws. We are sinners because we are incapable of maintaining that standard. But a sinner is also someone who shakes their fist at God and says, I won't. No, I won't. I refuse. A sinner is just a lawbreaker. We just can't make that standard. A sinner is someone who is aggressively against God. We are all sinners. Doesn't matter. We are not righteous. We are not good. In the words of verse 10, God's enemies. That's what we are. God's enemies. And yet, before God had any guarantee that we would appreciate what he was going to do for us, before he had any guarantees that even one person would accept what he did, while we were still sinners, while we were still God's enemies, Christ died for us. He died for us because he knew we wouldn't be able to undo the stuff in our past that we regret doing. And even if we were somehow able to undo the past, he knew there was no way we could live perfectly in the future. This means that God, who is holy and so requires perfection, could never enjoy our company. He could never enjoy with us what he had back in the Garden of Eden. He could never be there because he's holy. He requires perfection. But it also meant that God, who loves us and wants our company, God could never enjoy our company. His holiness and his love. It could never give expression to it at the same time. And the only solution was for God to be unfair. In other words, God would have to leave us unpunished, even though we are ungodly sinners, lawbreakers. Only solution, leave them unpunished. His love wanted that. But God, who is holy, he couldn't do it. He couldn't leave our sin unpunished, our rebellion unpunished. And so what happened? God allowed Jesus to accept the punishment we deserved, death, in our place. And what do we have to do? Nothing. Simply recognize the fact that we are sinners, that we are rebels, that we are lawbreakers. That's all we have to do. Acknowledge that we can do nothing about our past. Acknowledge we can do nothing about our future. And simply receive the free gift of salvation. Is that fair? Not at all. It's not fair. How unfair is it? Well, we think we're pretty cool, right? Let me tell you a true story of just how unfair that is. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Jew, and she survived the Ravensbrück concentration camp. They came round, they rounded up the Jews. They put them in these concentration camps. They made them live in unspeakably horrible conditions. And then they said, it's time for shower, time to get cleaned up. And they took them into the shower rooms. But instead of water being pumped through those pipes, they pumped cyanide gas. And 6 million Jews were exterminated. 6 million Jews were exterminated, and they were simply buried in mass graves. Corrie ten Boom survived the camp at Ravensbrück. And she was giving a talk in Germany after the war of her experience, talking about God's forgiveness. And the essence of her talk was this: when we confess our sins, God takes our sin and casts them into the deepest ocean. Our sin is gone forever. She had survived the horror of Ravensbrück, and this was her message. God forgives our sins. He casts them in the deepest ocean. Now, as the people were leaving after her talk, she saw him working his way forward. She saw his overcoat. She saw the brown hat. She saw the blue uniform. She saw the visored cap with the Gestapo insignia on the front. And as she saw him, his face, it all came back to her in a rush. She remembered that huge room with the harsh lights. She remembered the pathetic pile of dresses and clothes that they had to take off as they stood there naked and put the clothes in the middle like that. She remembered the shame she felt as she walked past this man naked. She remembered her sister's frail body walking ahead of her. Her sister died at Ravensbrück. And this man, who had orchestrated that and been part of it and been one of the guards at Ravensbrück, this man was now standing in front of her, his hand thrust out at her, and said to her, a fine message. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. He carried on and he said, you mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. I was a god there. But since then, I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from you. Will you forgive me? And she stood there what seemed to be hours. And she prayed, Lord Jesus, help me. And finally she was able to say, I forgive you, brother, with all my heart. That is so unfair. That is so unfair. Fairness demands that he should have paid for the suffering he caused. Fairness demands that. But aren't you glad that God is not fair? Aren't you glad that even though your sins might not be his sins at Ravensbrook, yet your sins are just as ugly to a holy God? Aren't you glad that nevertheless there is a way for you to enjoy forgiveness, to enjoy a relationship with God, even though you are a sinner, even though you are a rebel, even though you are a lawbreaker? Aren't you glad? God is not fair. If God were fair, you would never enjoy those things because you would be punished for your sin, your rebellion, your law breaking. Have you confessed your sin? Have you confessed your sin? Have you received the forgiveness that Jesus offers you? I'm so glad that he's unfair, so that I can enjoy all that because of what Jesus did for me. Let's spend a few moments in silence, shall we?